Grief is what we're going to be talking about, how to bless someone who's going through a grieving time. And so I know that you have your own ways that you help others, but today I'm going to suggest some areas that have been a blessing in my life. Psalm 61, verse 2. It's one of my very favorite verses. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Let's read that together. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Grief overwhelms. Your emotions, yes, but every aspect of your life. And to have some dear friends walk that journey of grief with you by loving and serving and even leading you to the rock, our Heavenly Father, can be one of the most beautiful gifts that you can give someone who's going through a difficult time. So today we're going to talk about this difficult topic of grief and how you can love and serve and hug and hold your friends as they're going through that trying time, knowing that in this life we all will experience it at some point in time. So let's answer some questions today to begin. First of all, what is grief? Grief is a part of life. It's the end of life. It's the most difficult parts of life. The dictionary definition of grief is deep sorrow, especially because of someone's death. Simply put, grief is the pain of loss. However, there's really nothing simple about grief. You don't know the pain until you crave a conversation with someone who is no longer alive. What does grief look like? The Bible speaks of grief often, giving beautiful, yes, grief can actually be beautiful, and tragic accounts of families who went through loss. Just a few examples. Jesus, our Lord and Savior, wept over the death of his friend Lazarus. Parents and children are discussed in the Bible. The very first couple in the Bible, Adam and Eve, lost one son at the hand of another son. Just think about the grieving. Just think about that. And what about the loss of a husband or wife? The widow of Nain, the Shunammite widow. Several more stories of widows are told in the Bible. God thought it was very important for us to know about grieving situations. And he also gives us examples of how people interceded and helped minister to those people who were grieving. My very favorite story that has become very important to me in the last few years has been the story of Ruth and Naomi. And each of them lost their husbands. And one of them lost her husband and two sons. My husband lost his wife and two children. That's tough. All at once, you know, that's tough. Ruth and Naomi's story is full of sadness, loneliness, and heartache. But along with God's providence, there's grace and redemption. And our stories can have that too. In fact, the word widow means empty. And because that is what's mostly on my heart, I'm going to refer to widowhood often today. But I believe a lot of the things that I'm saying have to do with any kind of loss. I know there are very different situations for different kinds of loss, but I'll probably refer to widowhood a little bit more today. It is said that a widow or a parent who has just lost a loved one has 51 decisions to make in the first 24 hours. This was put out by a funeral home. I'm sure they know what they're talking about. I can't tell you what those 51 situations are, but I'm telling you, it hits you in the face. And it continues to hit you in the face in those first 24 hours. Everybody needs to know, you know, what do you want? Let's just not even go there. There's so many issues in the first 24 hours. And the list continues for quite some time. I'm still, a few years later, dealing with different aspects of just paperwork from loss. There's so many issues. And every time you deal with it, you relive that grief over and over again. But think about those first 24 hours when your grief is raw and the hurt is so fresh and there's so many decisions think about that. Another question let's answer. How does grief look? It may look like a tsunami. You may have not been expecting any kind of a grieving moment, and then all of a sudden the phone rings, or there's a car wreck, or there's something quick that happens. It could be something that goes on for a while, more like a hurricane, which we're very aware of here in this area, right? But somebody who's diagnosed with whatever, cancer, stroke, heart problems, whatever, and you start to grieve immediately because your life is going to be different, still not knowing that you'll lose them at some point down the road. I'm not going to really talk much about my story today because I have so much I want to say about the beautiful women who ministered to me. But I do want to say this, and I'll be glad to talk about it at another time. But when the days are darkest, God is faithful. And if you don't walk away with anything else today but about stories of grief, know that. God is faithful. And some of us who are going through grieving times will gladly grab your hand and walk it with you. So if you don't walk away with anything else today, I'm fixing to get into a long list of things. Just know that God is faithful. And when we build a relationship with Him in the good days, it's going to be real easy to lean into Him during the hard times. So now we're going to talk a little bit more about grief. What words describe grief? First of all, grief is a very personal experience. There are many circumstances that will determine how one grieves. We did just go to a widowhood workshop, and so the speaker asked for different people just to holler out words that shared how they felt about grief, and I wrote down a few of them I'm going to share with you now. Gut-wrenching, robbed, intense, empty, and final. Here's some phrases that were thrown out. Guilt for words not said. Relief that their loved one isn't hurting anymore. Incomplete. You know, you're a widow, all of a sudden you're not one anymore. You're what are you? You know, what are you? Let's see. Incomplete, especially if it was a spouse they lost. Erratic. Their actions and words may not be very familiar to how they would have handled life before. Forsaken. Sometimes you feel like they left you. Or a failure because maybe you feel like you couldn't save the person that you loved so much. Some people who have just experienced loss cry uncontrollably, while others may not appear to cry at all. I talked to someone recently who lost their child years ago, and she said, I actually felt guilty because I couldn't cry. And people would sort of look at me like, here, I'm here for you, I'm here for you. But the tears wouldn't come. But inside, she said, I was crying buckets. It just didn't come out. You know, we all experience grief in different ways. So just because you're not crying on the outside doesn't mean it's not painful. So let's listen to some comments spoken by those who have lost someone dear to them. When I think of the loss of my husband, I feel like Dorothy in the Wizard of Oz, in the house, picked up and spinning and wondering where and when I'm going to land. Another lady said, when you survive loss, everyone's quick to tell you how strong you are. But actually, you don't have a choice to survive grief, do they? It's not optional. You just have to cry in the shower, sob in your pillow, and pray that you'll make it. When my husband died, another lady said, there was utter and overwhelming loss. I lost all feeling in my legs, and I was brought completely to my knees, unsure that I would ever be able to stand up again. I will never be the same, someone said, after the loss of their child. I feel invisible and vacant. People keep telling me that life goes on, but to me, that's really the saddest part. The space in my heart that was filled with love is now empty. I don't know where to go. Kathy Lee Gifford, which most of you in here know, lost her husband a few years ago. And, of course, she was, you know, she's an incredible entertainer, and she was the host of the Today Show and with Hoda, and, you know, seemed to have her life all together. And after she lost her husband, she stayed on the air, and she continued to do all those things. And one day, she quit, and she said, "I'm moving to Tennessee." And it was a shock, I think, to the people that she worked with. But because of that, she was surrounded by friends and family and all kinds of people doing her makeup and all kinds of things. You would think that they would have helped to support her to keep her life going on. But when she was asked why, she said, "I am painfully lonely." She gave all of that up because of the loneliness, where she would move to be with some people that she thought she would have a deeper connection with. I'll be honest, for me personally, grief has restructured my life. Every thought I have now goes through the channel or perspective of grief. I see and I hear and I feel things differently. God has been faithful to me through this grief journey and my life, and He's given my life purpose to continue to do His will. But I can assure you, my life has changed forever. And if you walked that journey, you know what I mean. I'm also going to say that I have learned that you can, that grief and joy can coexist. I can laugh and I can be happy and grateful and thankful to God for so many reasons, but it still hurts, and it always will. And I know there's many in this room who understand what I'm talking about. These are just some stories of grief. So what should your response be? What should my response be? Because, yes, grief needs a response. God's Word helps us to understand the fact that those who lose someone close to them are broken and are mourning, and they need love and compassion that we, the church, can give them. So let me share three scriptures with you quickly. Matthew 5, verse 4, Jesus tells us, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. How are they going to be comforted? Let's read another scripture. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3 and 4. Paul thanks God for caring for him in his troubles by saying this: "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God." So, see, God is there ready to comfort us when we're going through troubling times, so that we can then turn around and lift up someone else who's going through that difficult time and hopefully draw them back to God. So that's just a powerful verse to me. God is going to comfort us, but He's also going to comfort us through the sisters in this room. James 1:27 says this: "Pure religion that God accepts is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world." And there are other verses in the Bible that also reference this. It's important. God wants, it's actually a command from God for us to take care of those who are hurting and struggling and have had loss. Our response should be a clear path where we stick close to them and allow our friend to grieve. I'm a grateful witness to the comfort and care that we have received from God in difficult times and the beautiful compassion shown in loss. You are the ladies, many of the ladies in this room are the ones who have reached out to me and my family. You roll up your sleeves. I've watched you do it for other people. You roll up your sleeves. You lend comfort to the hurting families. So I'm not here today to say you're not doing your job. I'm here today to encourage you in the job you're doing, and hopefully to give you some new ideas that maybe would help help you as you continue to help those who are hurting. Casseroles are great. But I'm going to tell you, I got a lot of those. And we put some in the freezer, and they're great. That's good, too, if you remember to take them out. Well, because those first few weeks, I didn't really think much about eating until I was starving, you know, and all of a sudden I was hungry, and that casserole was a long time from being ready. So casseroles are good. Go ahead and keep giving the casseroles. Keep sending the cards. Keep visiting. All of those are good things. But grief is such a personal journey. If you can find out more about the person who's going through it and try to make your grief ministry a little more intimate with them, I believe that you will do great things for them and yourself and your relationship with God if it's done in the right way. So I was asked today to share with you some of the ways that I was shown love in action. And that's what I'm going to do for the next few minutes. What time is it?
1:48.
Okay. Number one, comfort food and gift cards. You don't have to prepare a whole meal for somebody who's just lost a loved one. There were only two. In the beginning, we had lots in our house, but then it dwindled down to just Seth and I. That we didn't need a whole meal every day brought to us, but it was beautiful. Ladies who had special talents, and they just showed up the very first morning when I didn't even know they came by. But a sweet couple from our church came by and brought homemade bread, which apparently is her specialty. I didn't know it at the time, but she's here. She blessed my life more than she knew. I couldn't eat. I didn't eat all day. And one of my daughter-in-laws who had shown up said, "Miss Kathy, you've got to eat something." And I said, "I can't." And she said, "What about that bread?" And she warmed up a piece of bread, put some butter on it, because you got to have butter on the bread, and brought me a cup of coffee. And, you know, the verse, a cup of cold water in my name. Well, that bread and hot coffee were just exactly what my body needed at that moment. And then I found out who it was from and the love and care that it was given to send that over to me was so sweet and special. It was perfect for my needs for that day. Another sweet lady at our church who makes pound cakes and is famous for her pound cakes, and she knows I love them, showed up with a pound cake. And so that was my breakfast for about 2 weeks. Every morning I would cut myself a little slice, and I wanted it to last and last and last. And so that became comfort for me, because it wasn't just that pound cake tasted really good. It was the love that was behind it. And I knew that that lady had her own difficulties in life, but yet she reached out to me with a pound cake. Another neat thing that came to our house that very first morning was a big bag of breakfast foods. They knew that my whole family would be coming in, and I have 3 sons who are married, and then my son and I, so there were going to be 8 of us in our house for the week, and just showed up a big bag, bacon and muffins and all kinds of things that you wouldn't necessarily think about. Did I have food in my house at that time? No. We had been at the hospital. We had been dealing with so many issues. And so my house was not ready for 8 people to come into it, you know. And so people were thinking for me. That's the point of the comfort food and the gift cards. And the other thing that came were gift cards. I had several people who just dropped off gift cards to restaurants. And we just started piling them in a little place. And all of a sudden, one day, we were like, "What are we going to eat?" And we were like, "Oh, we got the gift cards." What a blessing. And so many of those places you could just pull up to and they bring the food out to you. Or you could drive through and get the food and you didn't have to have makeup on. And if you'd been crying, that was okay, because nobody was going to see you. That was a huge blessing to our family. So gift cards can be, you know, the casseroles are good. Still bring them. But on top of that, remember, gift cards can be a huge blessing as well. Number two, let's get really basic. Paper goods and gas cards. Okay, I'm starting with just some basic needs for these first few days. A sweet lady on the back row in this room today showed up on the first morning with bags of paper products. And I don't mean just, you know, paper towels, but we're talking toilet tissue, 8 people for a week in a house when I'm not used to that. You know, I didn't have time. I didn't have the thought process to go shopping and buy paper towels or toilet paper for that week. We needed those things. She brought Solo cups, Somebody showed up with Gladware containers. That is a beautiful thing, because think of all those casseroles. When you start to eat them, there's leftovers. What do you do with them? And you don't want to have to think about it. But we had, sitting out on the counter, we had these about 10 Gladware containers, and every one of them got used throughout the week, and we were able to send food home with relatives who were over there, things like that. So those are beautiful, beautiful ways to minister to a friend during a hard time. Also, I never would have thought of this, but somebody gave us gas gift cards. Well, I wasn't doing much driving. In fact, I was doing no driving. My children were wonderful and drove me everywhere during that first week. But my children had to give up work for a week. Of course, that not had to. Of course, they wanted to. Of course, that, you know, they, but they drove hours to be here, had to drive hours back. Some of them had to lose pay for a few days of work. Those kind of things, all of a sudden, they are having financial needs. They never said it, but I was able to hand out those gas cards to my children to fill up their cars. So that was a beautiful way for some people to minister actually to my children during that time. And number three, before the funeral, these are small things, but they became big things. Breath mints. Do you know what happens when you cry a lot and you're running on emotional fumes? You have a very dry mouth. And I remember the day of the visitation, somebody dropped by my house and they brought me a big pack of breath mints. So I passed them out to all my children, and we all had our own packs of breath mints. And one of my son's job throughout the night was to come up as I was talking to people every now and then and stick a breath mint in my mouth, because you get so dry from talking and crying. And it sounds a little silly, but trust me, it was a good thing. Another sweet lady had the gift of embroidery, and she heard the first night a scripture that I could not get off my heart, and I just kept repeating it over and over and over again when I lost my husband. And she heard that scripture, so she went and bought a handkerchief, cotton handkerchief, embroidered the scripture on it, and brought it to me the morning of the funeral. I had that beautiful gift in my pocket with me all day long. I thought of a sweet friend who was loving on me, sharing God's word with me, who had really listened to me because she knew the scripture. She used her talent from the Lord to bless my life that day, and I've not forgotten it. Also, my sweet daughter-in-law, Katie, did the sweetest thing. I went to bed eventually, and one of the first nights my children were there, I got in the bed, and on my bedside table were the little individual packs of tissues, and I brought y'all all one today, just the little packs, you know, of tissues. But what she had done was taken, if you're into essential oils, you'll like this. She had taken peppermint oil, and she had put a drop on each tissue. So I've done that for y'all today. And she, it was just love in a little package. And I cried a lot, and I would pull those tissues out, and I was breathing in that sweet love and that sweet peppermint feeling. And it's also good if you have a cold. I've used them since then, just for a cold. But that's a blessing, that you can bless somebody with. It's the little things. You know, that's what I remember of these little treasures that were given to us during this time. Number four, grief is forever, and memories are forever too. First of all, know this about your friend who's going through a hard time. They can barely breathe. They might be smiling on the outside, like I said earlier, but they're struggling to survive. Keep in mind that grief lasts longer than you expect. Most people stop trying to help around the three-month period because, and I don't mean that ugly at all, but people's lives have to go on, right? They have their own families to attend to. But I remember someone saying to me, and she said it jokingly, but I know there was a little truth in it. Okay, Kathy, it's been 3 months. Time to get a life. And I remember looking at her and thinking, it just feels like it just happened yesterday. I'm not ready to get a life. I didn't want a life. Now, that same friend who was giving me a little bit of a hard time has loved on me and stuck with me through the long haul. And a little over 2 years later, she still encourages me in many ways. But it hurt that night that she said that. But it's true. You know, at the three-month mark, this is what they say, you know, what the grief counselors say, that at 3 months, most of the rest of the world moves on with their life. But the person who's left behind grieving, it's going to follow them for the rest of their life. They still need encouragement. But I have found that. And you know where I found it? From Christians, from the people I worship God with. And what's beautiful about it is people who don't even realize, just like what you were talking about earlier, it's the small things. I have this precious man. My husband had a stroke years ago. And walking down this long hall here at church was hard for him. This man would meet him in the hall and walk him down the hall, get his coffee, help him go to class. That became a special thing between the two of them. And when I came back to church and I would walk down the hall to go to class after church, that was a hard walk for me because I missed my husband and missed watching him make it. But that guy was waiting on me now. And he would take me and put his arm around me, walk me down the hall, and usually give me a funny little story about my husband. He called him by name, which I love to hear my husband's name. I love it. He called him by name. He made him seem real again to me. And he loved on me, and he made me giggle a little bit, laugh a little bit over something funny that my husband would have said, because my husband was quite funny. But those memories are so special. And I told him, I said, I'm talking about you at the ladies' day. And he said, whoa, what are you saying? But he has been an encourager to me. Those are ways that we can encourage people in their walk. Okay, number 5, postage stamps. Thank you, cards and mercy. I'm going to go quick on this one because our time's almost up, isn't it? Okay, I got 10 more minutes. Okay. Keep those cards and texts coming for a while. I'm not going to say much about this, but I do want to say this. It was just 2 years, a few weeks ago. It was a very hard week for me. I was doing really, really good. Really, really good. And then that week, it's like I didn't even know. I didn't even have to look at the calendar to know. My body just physically took over. The grief was just like it had just happened. And I had a very tough week. And I know I'm not alone. I know there's a lot of people out there in grieving situations who many years down the road still struggle, especially around those anniversaries. So if you know the anniversary of someone who has a loss, please remember them. I did have some people reach out to me during that week. I got some cards. I got some phone calls, some texts that were beautiful. It's tough. It is tough, and it just takes over. Like, I mean, you have no control over it. I have more I could say about that. We'll move on, though. Number 6, things to occupy the children. Okay, now I had a son at home during all of this, and a lot of people who are grieving have children, who still have children at home. I was concerned about Seth, but I had friends who, again, foresaw the needs that he would have, and even the night of the visitation, they came to the visitation, brought their children. I have all these people coming up to me. I did not have to worry once about him because he had one best friend on one side, one best friend on the other. They were sitting on the pew laughing and talking and sharing. Those children and their moms will never know what that meant to me and what it meant to Seth. And remember the children, in other words. The children need encouragement as well. Another friend gave us some gift cards to a movie theater, which I thought was a little odd at first. Because in my mind wasn't thinking at all. But a few weeks later, this great movie came out. So we went to the new Nexus Cinema. If you've not been there, go. It was great. And we went and the lights were dark. I didn't have to think or talk during that time. They had really good food. My son was being entertained, and I could grieve in quietness, and he thought we were having a bonding moment. So that was pretty great, because those first few weeks were tough. I had to be there for him, and I needed every now and then for those lights to be out and that movie to be playing. So that was a beautiful moment given by a friend. Number seven, lonely moments in grace. And this one I really want to make a big point with. Going back to worship for the first time, especially if you went to church as a family, is very, very difficult. My children were here and stayed as long as they could. They were here about 8 days, but they had to go home. They have jobs and life to live. So I had dear friends drive from Atlanta, Georgia, to take me to church for the first time. And I walked through the door with each of them on my side, and I made it through the service. I cried a little bit, but I was feeling that support from those sweet friends. Well, this is the even better part. A precious couple at our congregation here, I don't know that they knew anything about that, but they came up to me and said, we'd really like to pick you up on Wednesday nights and take you and Seth to church because we go right by your house. Well, I found out later they don't actually go right by my house. But they started picking us up on Wednesday nights. And you know what? If they hadn't, there would have been many Wednesday nights that I would have said, I can't do it. Because emotionally, I wasn't here. But my son needed to be here, and I needed to be here. And when I got here, I was loved on and cared about. And my priorities could, you know, get back in order. All because this sweet couple at church went by my house on Wednesday nights, and they would love to pick me up. And they did it for a year. And I'll never forget them. It made a beautiful friendship between us. So remember, people, that, you know, the going back to church is hard. Sit with them. You know, they're used to sitting by their spouse or their child. They need to be sat with. Did you know that weekends tend to be the hardest on widows? During the week, you can sort of get a routine going again. It takes a while. But weekends, well, you know, you used to spend it with your husband or your children, whatever, doing the fun things, going to the ball games, going out to eat, and all of a sudden, what do you do? Weekends are hard. I have a sweet friend who started calling me, and she called it Foo Fridays, because my son Seth loves Foo Sackleys. I like it. He loves it. And so she would come about every other Friday for a few months and bring us Foo Sackleys on Friday nights, and we would sit there. And the first few weeks, I was really pretty much a bump on the log. And but as time went on, I laughed some, and, you know, it was a beautiful ministry. And we always ended up talking about God, and it was just... it was beautiful. And Seth was being ministered to also. Number eight, listen more than you talk. Listening is probably the most underappreciated gift, yet one of the most valuable gifts you can give someone. Silence can be uncomfortable. Expect the silence and relax. The person who's grieving, they don't even realize their silence probably. You know, they're hurting so badly. I have a friend who came to my house and brought a book. And she sat on my couch and read. So I didn't feel obligated to visit with her. She answered the door. She put up leftovers. She did whatever was needed behind the scenes. And every now and then we'd have a meaningful conversation. But she made herself appear to be busy, but was there to minister to me. And it was really beautiful. I have another dear friend who listens so beautifully. She continued to come and continued to come. And one day, and I know it wasn't fun to be around, but one day she came and she said, if you could do one thing now with your future, what would it be? And I said, I've always wanted to host a Bible study in my home. Years ago I did. And I miss that, and I need that. I would really like to do that. And she goes, well, what would that look like? And now, a year later, every month, I have 12 ladies that come to my home and her home. We alternate, and we have a Bible study. That has turned into a beautiful ministry, all because of somebody listened. She kept listening to me, kept loving on me, and finally drew out of me what I needed, and I needed those ladies. Those ladies tell me all the time they need me. Mm-mm. They don't know how badly I need them. And so, you know, all because a friend listened. Number nine, use comforting words that point to God. When you talk, consider your words. My husband Terry's favorite verse is, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. that goes strongly for what you say to somebody who's just gone through a loss. And I know our time is almost up, but just bear with me. I'm going to be pretty quick on the last few. But I want to say something about this one. Consider deleting some phrases. They're in a better place. Everything happens for a reason. It's a tough one. The night of visitation, somebody called me a widow. And they meant it in love. But it broke my heart. I could not get over that. I was like, I am not a widow. I am Ed's wife. I cannot believe they, you know, it hurt my feelings so bad. So they didn't know. I don't even know who did it. But I'll never forget it. My point is try to consider your words. And really, less is more. I have found that the best words to use in comfort are God's words. You can say, I'm sorry, and love on the person and just be there in silence for them. But the best things you can do for others is to give them God's words. So I have 16 verses that have comforted me. I've made you some comfort cards. I'm going to pass them out here in just a moment. Verses that have been an encouragement to me. But let them encourage you, and maybe you can share them with those who are going through hurting times. Let God's words comfort them. That is really, you don't have to say all the cliche phrases. And they'll forgive you if you do. But it still hurts. Sorry about that, but it does. I also was given a special Bible where some ladies wrote beautiful, encouraging notes inside. And there for a while, I could not really read the Bible. I had no attention span. And I would cry, but I carried that Bible right here around like this, around my house all day long. It encouraged and comforted me just to know that God's words were right there. And I felt like those ladies had hugged me because they had filled the Bible with the sweetest, sweetest, kindest, encouraging words, mostly scriptures, to get me through a difficult time. That's another way you can minister to someone. Okay, three more real quick. Number 10, be helpful anyway. Your friend is not going to ask for help. And I had a lot of precious ladies who said, let me know if you need anything. And they meant it. They would have come back and they would have done anything I needed. But guess what? I never asked. Partially because I probably didn't ever think about it again. Partially because you're not going to call somebody up and say, hey, by the way, I need you to vacuum my house. Come on, back. You know, you're not going to do that. I mean, we're just women. We just aren't going to do that. But honestly, it was more that I just forgot. I never thought of it again. But I'm going to tell you, there is a powerful truth that you need to know. Is it turns out, grief lasts longer than the sympathy that's offered. Way longer. For the rest of your life. So I'm going to give you permission today to anticipate the needs of your friends and just move in and vacuum their floor. Don't ask permission, just do it. You know, just say, hey, I'm here, and I'm going to go get your vacuum cleaner. Where is it? I had two ladies. We dropped baked beans in my refrigerator right before my husband went to the hospital. Well, they dried, I didn't even know that happened. They dried for those 2 days he was in the hospital, and I came home. I had lost my husband, and I had all my children on their way to my house. So those two ladies at like 2 in the morning went into my kitchen, and they didn't ask permission. They saw the baked beans all over the thing, and they just ministered to me by cleaning my refrigerator. And I heard them in there laughing while I was crying, and I did think, yeah. But I'm just going to tell you, that made such an impression to me. They loved on me in a hurting time. They didn't need to ask permission. Those beans needed to go. And so they just took care of it. Okay, number 11, gratefulness. A grateful journal will be a huge ministry to give to someone and help them with during a loss. This has been the number one best thing that's happened to me. Someone gave me a journal, and it has turned into precious, grateful memories of my husband. I just keep lists. Anytime I'll think, oh, I remember when Ed did that. And you write it down, and I give it to God, and I thank God for it. And then sometimes something really good happens to me. To me? Right in the middle of the grief, and I write it down, and I give it to God. And now I'm starting to think outward of how how other people need, you know, how I'm grateful for other people and how I have a purpose and ways that I can help other people, and I'm writing it down and I'm giving it to God. And every now and then I can't think of anything, but I've got that journal and I can go back and I can realize how God, even in grief and loss and sadness, has blessed my life and given me a hope and a future. All because God is just like that. He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He loves us so much, He offers us a hope and a future even in the trials of this life, even in the grief. And that gratefulness journal has been the best thing for me. It's helped me to put things into a better perspective and helped me to give it back to God. And so please, that's a great thing you can offer to your friends. And then the last thing is to pray for them. And don't just say, I'll pray for you. Mean it. Really, really mean it. And I'll reach out to them in prayer. And I know I seem nervous today, and it's because it still hurts a lot. But I love y'all, and I thank y'all for listening. And I have comfort cards and Kleenex for everybody. So come up and grab one. Oh, and I've got verses also on grieving, because we could have talked about this all day. There's so much that could be said. So please come up and get any of these. And hopefully you can use these in ministering to your friends. Lead them to the rock that is higher than all of us when they're overwhelmed. Thank you.